welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This is another Ask Us Anything mini-sode holiday edition where we answer listener questions about holiday traditions and splitting time with family at the holidays. Let's get started. Hey, Laura.
Ho, ho, ho.
Wait a minute. Is that Santa on the other end?
How did you know? Shh, don't tell Augie.
The jolly ho, ho, ho in your voice. All right. I won't tell, I promise, but you're going to tell all your secrets on this episode.
Spilling the beans.
Spilling the marshmallows. All right. So let's dive right in. We've got some listener questions about the holidays. We actually got a lot of listener questions about this, so I'm very excited to dig in here. So multiple people have asked us about holiday traditions. What do we do with our families for holiday traditions? Do we do things like Santa, Elf on the Shelf, other stuff? Laura, tell us, what do you guys do for the holidays?
Okay, so we, to preface, we are like a-religious. We don't really, like, I don't know if I'd call us atheist, agnostic. We just don't really follow. We just don't have any like religious holiday tradition. We just sort of have like a general secular American holiday tradition.
Same.
Because it's America, that defaults to Christmas. So we generally just celebrate Christmas and all the sort of secularized, Americanized stuff that comes with it. So one of our traditions is that we always get like a real Christmas tree, a fresh one.
Mm-hmm.
Because Corey is like your super easygoing guy, right? Like you, I think you've known him for like 15 years almost now, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fair. Call him easygoing, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
When it comes to Christmas trees, he's not an easygoing fellow.
Really? Interesting.
Well, it's not like he's difficult, but he has opinions, like very strong opinions. And I've now been roped into them. I now know what he likes.
Douglas fir, I bet. Mm-mm.
Oh, no, he's okay with the Douglas fir.
Really?
None of the like other niche ones. Like that, I feel like Douglas fir is very tradish, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, he wants like the most stereotypically traditional tree you can imagine. Like it needs to be a perfect shape, you know, like it needs to be just the right height, the perfect shape. It has to be conical, has to be full, but not too full. Like we go through a selection process.
Yeah.
Which the almost 4-year-old and almost 2-year-old, did they have the patience for it this year? Questionable.
Where do you go to buy it?
Oh, yeah. We go to this like very niche, very specialized tree lot. You know, obviously we would prefer to go out into the woods and cut it down ourselves, but in lieu of that, we have to find like the highest quality tree we can find. So we always go to this place. It's called, let me see if I'm getting this right, Home Depot. I think I'm saying,
ooh,
that right.
That's so niche. I don't know. It might be Home Depot. I don't know.
Look, we've tried a bunch of like tree lots and they're always really expensive and like the selection isn't as good. And Home Depot, at least the ones around us, like they have legit trees there. Like they've got good choices. So we've had really good luck the last few years at Home Depot. So we actually went this year, we got the tree, and I felt very proud of myself because we looked through all the trees that had already been like cut open and fluffed out, you know, of their little like netting.
Yeah.
And none of them were right. And I agreed with Corey. Like none of them, there were like weird bald spots. Like it was just no good. And so we started looking into the ones that were not cut open yet. And like the Home Depot guy gave us his scissors. It was fine. So we're like trying to pick one out. And I just saw one. I was like, Corey, that one. And it was like behind a bunch of other ones. I mean, it was not convenient to get to. I was like, that's one's calling my name. And he's like, really? I was like, I don't know what it is. It's got a different color green. It looks perfectly symmetrical. And he's like, all right, I trust you. And so he like pulled out. He had to pull out like 5 trees to get back to this one. But I'll tell you, Shauna, this thing was perfect.
Yeah?
Shall I send you a picture?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sending you like a glamour shot, a wide shot of the perfect tree before decoration.
Ooh, that's a shapely tree. Very nice. It's got the perfect little stick at the top for a star.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Yeah, so we got that. And then we decorate the tree. That's always fun. The kids get to join in. Of course, the ornaments are haphazardly placed when you have two youngins putting them up. And that's very hard for Corey.
Oh, yeah. It's very bottom heavy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Corey. Well, actually, in our house, it's kind of the opposite because Sebastian likes to take them off the tree. So there's like a bald spot on the bottom. And Corey has to really restrain himself from like micromanaging where they put up the ornaments.
You just reorganize later in the evening when they go to bed.
Correct. That is key. And then every night, because Sebastian takes it all off.
I love that you guys do the fresh tree. We don't do a fresh tree anymore. A couple years ago, we got a tree from an actual like fancy expensive lot. But we decorate so early, like the day after Thanksgiving, we want to decorate. And we got this tree and like 3 weeks later, it was dead. I mean, brown. And I'm just like, man, I'm so tired of having dead brown trees by the time Christmas comes. And I was so angry about it that year that we took all the decorations off the tree. We pitched that tree in the trash and went and bought another tree from Home Depot, a cheap one, that like lasted us through Christmas. And I'm just like, I don't know. I don't think we're going to do this anymore. So the next year we got a fake tree that's like pre-lit. And that's our jam. We actually love it. I love it. I miss the smell of fresh pine. But, you know, you can get little pieces from the Christmas tree lot and make a little wreath or whatever. But yes, decorating is a huge thing in our house. Like we put on the Christmas music, put on the fire. We have like Santa hats and funny glasses for the holidays and all this stuff. And it's just like, oh, the kick off the holiday season with that big decorating party is what I call it. Oh, so fun. I love it.
I will say that one of my traditions too is my annual fussy setting up of my very nerdy siphon system to keep the tree watered.
Yeah, tell us about your siphon system.
So I figured this out, I don't know, 8 years ago, something like that. Basically, you're just creating like a siphon where you have like a bucket of water outside the tree, and then you have a tube that's filled with water so that it's like completely airtight that goes into the base of the tree, and it's a simple siphon. So as the tree sucks water up, water goes from the bucket outside the tree into the tree well. And you have like continuous watering of the tree as needed.
But then you have a bucket under your tree.
Well, then you take a cardboard box and you wrap it to look like a present and you put it on top of the bucket. So it just looks like another present. And then you pick up the box. It has like a bottomless box, right? And then you refill the bucket. But you only have to refill the bucket, you know, once a week, if that. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the siphoning system.
That's so smart.
I just Googled it. Yeah, there's like YouTube tutorials. But and this year, I'm so proud of myself. It worked on the first try.
So. Woo-wee, that's awesome. Do you feel nervous about having a big bucket of water like out with kids and cats and everything?
My cats don't seem to care. It's not a big bucket either. I use like a little 1 gallon bucket.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe 2 gallon, maybe. It's a smaller bucket. So, yeah, I think if it was a big, you know, the toddler's going to trip headfirst into it and drown thing, I'd be more concerned. But especially because it's like under a box, keeps it away from the kids and stuff. So, right. Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. What about the Santa, Elf on the Shelf, all that stuff? How do you handle that?
So we're doing like just sort of you absorb the culture around you. And so Santa's a thing. Like we never really sat down. We're like, do we believe in Santa? How are we going to handle it? Like Corey and I just started saying things a couple years ago, like when Augie was a baby, like Santa's going to bring you toys. And like, that was it. Right.
Decision made.
Exactly. And we do try to keep the Santa toys like less high value because, you know, I read a thing a few years back about like how Santa shouldn't be bringing iPads to kids because kids in families who can't afford an iPad are like, well, how come Santa brought Jimmy an iPad and me like a candy bar, you know, like, why is Santa discriminating against us? So we try to keep the Santa gifts like fairly modest. But, you know, I have already been telling Augie that like, oh, Santa's going to fill up your stocking the night before Christmas. And he's all excited about that. He's like, Santa's going to come in. So we lie to them to their face about that.
Oh, yeah. Same.
And like, honestly, I don't even understand Elf on the Shelf. Like, it wasn't a thing in my family. It wasn't a thing growing up. Like, I like literally don't understand. I don't get it. What is? Can you explain it to me?
I can explain it to you based on what I've gathered from seeing posts on the internet about it. I don't do it.
Okay.
I actually made a choice not to do it. If the girls like beg me one year to do it, I will probably give in. But it's this little toy elf that you put around your house. Like every night you like hide it in a different spot or in some creative setup. For the kids to find it in the morning. And I think the idea is that the elf is there to spy on the kids all through December to make sure they have good behavior to report back to Santa. Like, that's the general gist of it. But the like fun part is that the kids discover like its new location every day, and people get really creative and like put the elf making mischief, I don't know, with toilet paper rolls or something like that. I mean, people get really, really creative with it, and some people really love it. To me, it felt like a lot of extra work and mental load that I did not want to take on. So I was like, that's not happening. But it does seem like a really fun creative outlet for people who are super into it.
Augie would love waking up and finding the elf in a different place.
Oh, yeah.
But
heck yeah.
I'm not huge on the surveillance aspect. Like, we haven't introduced the like naughty or nice or like be on good behavior or Santa won't bring you. Like, we haven't done any of that. I don't know if you, you know, it just didn't seem in line with Rye parenting.
Oh, yeah. No, we never mention that. But, you know, there's like songs and stuff about it. Like, you're naughty or nice. So they get it, but it's, I never impress it on them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and one other fun thing that has been introduced this year by my mom is she got a little advent calendar for my boys. It's like the IKEA one, and it has little chocolates in it every day. And oh my gosh, Augie is obsessed every morning since December 1st. He's like, can I do the calendar with the doors? Can I do the calendar? And he's just like obsessed with it. So I think we're going to make that a tradition. I didn't grow up with advent calendars. Like, I honestly didn't know what they were until like 5 years ago.
Oh, that's so interesting. I did. And I think it's because my aunt and uncle who lived in Germany would send them to us, if I'm remembering this correctly. Like, I have a vague recollection of like, it was a thing in Germany and they would send it to us and we would do them. We get the ones from Trader Joe's, and same, our girls have been so excited every morning to open the door and eat chocolate. Cece calls it the candy calendar. Can
the
I open?
Candy calendar.
I got to do the candy calendar. Candy calendar. So that's, yeah, that's a fun thing in our house too.
Yeah. I've personally wanted some, like I saw one that was like a fabric, like every day you get a different fabric, and like, I don't need it. I'm not sewing anything right now, but I'm like, man, I'd love that, a little gift every day.
Yeah. It's so fun. And it's a fun way to build up the anticipation
and
for Christmas, a little fun thing.
And to like teach numbers too, you know, because they're all scattered about. So Augie has to like hunt for the number every morning.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's educational candy.
Yes, exactly.
And you know, the other thing I'm realizing is that, you know, I'm like, I haven't heard of this stuff. Like, I don't understand this stuff. Is I forgot to mention that, like, maybe some of my like blind spots are because my dad was Jewish. And like,
oh, yeah, right.
But he didn't like practice Judaism. He wasn't religious. There's all kinds of reasons. I mean, number one being that he grew up in a communist country where Judaism like wasn't really allowed. Like, you couldn't go to synagogue. His synagogue was closed. So he didn't grow up with any religious traditions. And so he didn't really like know how to, you know, he doesn't know what to do for Passover. Like, he can't do a Seder, that sort of thing. So for like, we would acknowledge Hanukkah when I was growing up. Like, we'd be like, oh, it's the first night of Hanukkah. But I wouldn't like get presents on Hanukkah. Mm. Like, I go over to like other friends' houses and play with their dreidel and stuff like that. But I do think that sort of is part of the reason I'm like, what the fuck is an elf on a shelf? Like, what's an advent calendar? You know, because like I definitely, because, you know, my background's just a little bit different than sort of an average, quote unquote, American household, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know, another thing that we do, which is kind of fun, is I have been getting the girls like new Christmas pajamas every year. Like, that's a tradition. For the first few years, it was matching jammies because they were both in like, you know, 1T and 4T. And so it's easy to just buy things that are matching. So they'd always have little matching pajamas that they would wear during the holiday season and on Christmas morning. It's a little harder now because Elle's in like the girls section and Cece's in the toddler section. So they're not matching, but they both have their Christmas jammies already for this year, and they love them. It's like the number one outfit they want to wear all the time around the house, and just another little fun thing to do throughout the month to kind of, you know, stretch out the celebration.
I need to do that. I've done that in past years, but I don't have two that fit them right now. So, yeah, I got to do that.
Yeah, it's so cute to see them in the little jammies. So that's fun. Anyway, we have another question from a listener about spending time with family at the holidays. Shall we take a break and come back with that?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back, and we have a question from Janelle that is a juicy, juicy question. It's a topic that can get very heated, I think, and very treacherous around the holidays. And that is, how do you split time with family at the holidays? And Janelle says she's a new mom struggling with this. And it's, how? Shauna, what have you done in the past?
We have combined holidays with family. And I am very lucky because Steve's family and my family get along really well. They don't live too far from us. You know, when Elle was a baby, his mom was up in Seattle, right? So just a quick plane ride down here. My parents are in Phoenix, which is pretty close. They would drive out. And so everyone would just come here. And I was pretty adamant about being like, we're the people with kids now. I would prefer for family to come to us. You know, before that, we had been splitting time. Like, one year we'd go to Steve's family, one year we'd go to my family. And I just wanted to bring everyone together once I had a kid. I didn't want to travel with a baby at the holidays. And I wanted us to stay put and create the memories and traditions in our own home. And luckily, the families have, you know, been very understanding of that and easygoing, and they want to spend the holidays with us. So my family comes out to our house. Steve's mom comes out to our house. His sister comes a few days after Christmas because she needs to be up in Minnesota, actually, on Christmas Day. But yeah, then we just get together and kind of all celebrate together. And we're very lucky in that regard. And I realize this answer is probably not very helpful to people who actually need to split time. What about you, Laura? Do you split time with the families?
Well, kind of. Yes and no. So, okay, this is a tough one if you have a big family. And this has been an issue for me in the past when I felt compelled to split time between my dad. So, you know, my parents are divorced. They've been divorced since I was like, I don't know, 13 or something. And so both my parents are with new partners, and their partners have kids from their previous marriages. So like that actually balloons out into a lot of people. And it does get tricky to try to figure out. And before we had kids, it was like this constant juggle and a lot of guilt and, you know, like, I just remember holidays, like trying to decide, like we would do this thing where it was like for Thanksgiving, for example, Corey and I would come up to Fresno and we'd have to negotiate like, okay, your dad gets Thanksgiving Day and my mom will do Thanksgiving the day after or whatever, like do her dinner the day after. We'd be doing two of everything. And meanwhile, it all has to be coordinated with my stepbrother's dad because like they also have to do the like split time scheduling. And once my stepbrothers had kids, then that got really complicated.
Oh, yeah.
And then my brother gets married. And so his wife lives in Minnesota. So like we have to coordinate with them. So like it's a thing where I think they just decided, OK, we'll alternate which family we go to for different Christmases. Right. So like we'll have to know like, OK, is it a Erica's family year or is it a our family year? And like there's a lot of figuring out.
Yeah.
OK, so when I had Augie, I think that year he's a January baby. Right. So he had like a long time to think about it. And so that year for Thanksgiving, we did go up to Fresno and we did the like, I'll do it one day, you'll do it the other day thing and did all the juggling. And because we had just done that for Thanksgiving, I think we decided to just have Christmas at home. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason, I think, is, like you said, like, I want to create memories for my kids in their own home. I want them to have this feeling of the holidays as like they have traditions at home, not like scattered to the wind, right? And traveling with kids is so hard. But I wasn't like super clear on that at first. I just, that first Christmas, it just kind of, I think like Jeff and Erica were going to Minnesota. And so like my mom came to us and it was not a big deal. And also my dad had like just had surgery. So he didn't want visitors and whatever. So like that solved itself. And then it was 2020.
Right.
And the pandemic kind of like shut everything down. And so that Thanksgiving, we just did something small at home. Sherry came, Corey's mom, but she lives about an hour away, less than an hour away. So that's easy for her to come. And Christmas, we kind of just had our own little Christmas. And it was so nice, Shauna. I mean, there were a lot of things about the pandemic that sucked, but like one thing that really was great was like learning how to sort of be happy in your own home and reevaluate, like you said. And since then, Corey and I, we're over traveling for the holidays, especially with two kids now. It's just like, it's too much. So for now, we kind of have our boundary, basically, which is like, we're going to have our holidays at home. Mm-hmm. And everyone is welcome. And we're not upset if you can or cannot come, right? Like it's, you're welcome to come, but we're doing our family holiday here. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of where I'm coming from. Like, we're not really rude about it or anything, but like, you know, my mom was asking me like, oh, do you want to travel? Do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And I'm just like, no, I just want to be home. And I think she kind of looks at me like, you're a homebody, you know, like you need to spread out, you know, your wings and do things. But I want to be a homebody at the holidays.
Especially around the holidays. I mean, there's plenty of time the rest of the year to travel when, like, the airports aren't packed to the gills and the freeways are packed. And there's already so much disruption in schedules with kids during the holidays and what's going on in their home with the decorations. Like, there's a lot of fluctuation and change at that time of year with kids. So oftentimes they're, you know, they're just processing all of that anyway, despite all of the travel and stuff. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being a homebody around the holidays. I spent all of my holidays at home in Phoenix and I loved it. I just loved being around the Christmas tree and, you know, how it just like made the living room feel warm and cozy. And I don't know. I love that. And that's what I want to give my kids is that feeling of being home for the holidays.
Yeah. And I think I've talked about this on the show, but there's something about having your own kids like that allows you to be selfish in a way, because I don't know, for me, it's hard for me to be selfish. It's hard for me to prioritize myself, right? And I'm sure someone's listening, probably my friend Alia. She's like, it's not selfish to prioritize yourself. Stop saying that. But, you know, it feels like I can't deprogram myself from that. Like it feels selfish to prioritize myself.
I know it's hard.
It's hard. But when you have kids, you can kind of like externalize that and be like, I'm not being selfish. I'm like protecting their traditions and protecting their comfort and all that stuff. And so if you're having trouble with this, Janelle, who originally asked us this question, like maybe thinking about it in that way, like I know that feeling of everyone wanting you to come to them, everyone wanting you to like pulling you in different directions. I mean, I was so stressed out so many holidays with my divorced parent situation, like feeling like I could never be in the right place at the right time. And I'm even if your parents are divorced, like in-laws are like, right? Like your in-laws want you, but also your parents want you and also your siblings want you. And like, it's so hard when you feel like you can't be in all those places at once. But if you can like focus and remember that it's about the kid now, it can help you prioritize what's important.
Absolutely.
And maybe that is going to your in-laws across the country, right? Like maybe that is what's important, but you just have to decide that for yourself.
Yes. And I think that remembering that the holiday season is more than about just, say, Christmas Day, right? You can split up time in other ways. You could create traditions with one side of the family that's like the weekend before Christmas is when we all get together and make cookies or something. And then, or we spend Christmas Eve with this side of the family. So just finding creative ways to split time with loved ones, if that's important to you, I think that that can be worked out too. It doesn't all have to be about like, we need to go to all these different houses on Christmas Day and make ourselves bananas.
Unless you like banana flambé on Christmas. That could be your tradition.
I think that's a good idea. I would do that, except I'm allergic to bananas.
So tough. Bananas and like avocados, right?
Yeah. Luckily, neither of those are a holiday food, so I am in the clear.
But you could put red sprinkles on avocado toast, and that would be festive AF, Shauna.
Oh, true.
Not for you, but for others.
Okay. That's a hot tip from BFP, folks. Spice up your avocado toast.
Make your avocado toast into a little Christmas tree.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh, we got to add it to our next newsletter.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we've answered our holiday questions in this mini-sode.
We have. And listeners, if you have any questions you want us to answer on an upcoming mini-sode, please reach out. Laura, where can everyone find us?
We're on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can throw a voice memo in there. Just send it to contact at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And another way you can reach us is by joining our really cool Facebook group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community on Facebook.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, y'all. Bye.
Bye.